Coogan. I'm joined by my co-host, Gabe Romero.
Hey, everybody.
And this is The Call Sheet, Tales of the Bone Machine, live from downtown Los Angeles. How cool is downtown Los Angeles, people?
It's pretty cool.
It's vital. It's alive. It's happening. We're joined by a very special guest, an old cohort. We're going to get to the bottom of how many jobs we actually did whirl away together.
Oh, we've got to figure that out.
Yeah. We're joined by Jenny Chapman, as a child actress known. Jennifer Chapman Walters, she's a costume designer. Her dream is to become a set medic and sit around all day and hand out sugar tablets.
She is an RN,
a registered nurse, and she's here to join us on the call sheet and tell us her story and journey. She's been doing it. She's in the business exactly the same. We were just figuring out the exact. I started. My SAG card says started 1976.
Yeah, I think mine says 75.
I'm so jealous. Damn you. And what did you do? How did you start? You said Charles Schwartz was your first agent?
Don Schwartz. Yeah. Let's see. What did I do? My neighbor, I lived in Corona, California, and my neighbor came home and said, I got a commercial. I thought, I can do that. So I asked my dance teacher to help me get in show business. So I went, and she took me into a couple of agencies. I remember the first agent, Mary Grady, told me that she couldn't take me. And I felt so defeated, and I thought, this is awful. And here, what was I, 6 years old? Five and a half, six?
You're already rejected.
Rejected. And I had
to
actually...
She's too ethnic, you're brunette.
Right. Exactly. Kind of golden blonde, probably at the time. Who knows what I am now? Naturally. And
you're so goth tonight. I love it.
Oh, thank you.
You're sexy.
Yeah, thanks.
I met your husband earlier, so I won't openly hit on you. But.
I went and it was the first word I ever met was, had to look up in the dictionary was rejection. Because I just said, I was this big cloud, Mom. I was this balloon. And I went in and an agent told me that she didn't want to take me yet. I had to go and get more training, which I hadn't had any training at all. And I just felt defeated. And
training,
my mom said,
to be
no, actually, that's,
old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And my mom's like, well, that's rejection, honey, and that's going to be the business. So I said, well, I better suck it up. So then I went and I took a few acting classes. I did some commercial acting classes with, who are those people? It was Baker Nesbitt, who are the people that ran Baker Nesbitt, you know. Oh, no. Anyway.
Sheila Manning.
Yeah, and Dennis.
Dennis. Oh, I know exactly. On Homewood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the freak with the beard and the conspiracy theories.
Yes, the conspiracy theory.
To this day, I auditioned for
him. Oh, no, that's
like
crazy.
Delco batteries.
Is that where you picked it up?
Is
that where you picked up the conspiracy theory?
Well, I know that's where I picked
it
up.
And every other actor goes in for like 3 minutes, and I'm in there for like 15 minutes. But we're not working on the scene or shooting anything. We're just talking about like oil conspiracies and like Alaska.
Illuminati. And
awful.
No, but I got it with Don Schwartz. He accepted me. So
my first agent as well, which is so cool. And my first job was a stand-in on a commercial, and then I got to be an extra on a commercial, and then finally in a commercial. What was your first job?
I was the lead. Thank you. Yeah. It was FedMart. Thank you very much. And it ran, it was a wild spot, and it ran all
this
over the place.
This is industry jargon, people.
Yeah, I was about to say, for those who
there's
don't
national,
know what that is, what is
local,
a,
there's industrial,
what is a wild spot?
Wild spot, yeah. That's, mm-hmm. It could air anytime. It could ambush you anytime and show.
Yeah. So we had to have two Betamax recording machines. One on each television.
My mom paid $600 for
yes,
VHS.
I was about to say.
She got the VHS.
Oh, yeah.
My friends up the street had Betamax, and they had Superman the movie on tapes.
That's cool. Yeah,
like
two tapes.
You have to like intermission.
Sure.
I don't know. That was pretty funny to me.
Yeah. No,
did your parents obsessively record everything?
Oh, my mom was so into it. And the thing is that she wasn't a stage mom when we were there. I looked back to see what pictures I had of when I was on set. She didn't take very many because she just would kind of sit there and do needlepoint. She was just happy to be there. And she was happy I was having fun. But she always told me, if you don't want to be there, just raise your hand and I'll take you home. So I always knew that I had an out, but I never wanted to leave. But yeah, so I don't, but once I would get the job, she would watch for it. And it was always during Saturday morning cartoons. Yeah. So then I'd get beat up at school the next Monday because I wouldn't, you know, because I'd have like the Mattel Monchichi doll or something.
So you did the Monchichi commercial.
Yes, I
right?
did. It's on VH1. I love the 80s. Yeah.
In terms of like commercial, because in the I was born in 1970.
Sure.
And I'm not going to say a lady's age.
But 71. Yeah, you know I'm 41.
So we were given the effluence of manufacturing and processing of the Reaganomics era in the 80s. We were given Slinkies, a spring. Oh, this fell out of the back of the factory and you're going to sell this as a toy.
Oh, yeah.
We were given Silly Putty. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the toxic plastic. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Legos. It was like build your own fucking toy.
Oh, yeah.
It was weird. We were given these kind of like very processed. I mean, there was linker logs and erector sets and shit like that, too. But it was very, let's build this country and take on the communists and creative. And I had a very liberal education. Did you go to private school, public school, parochial school, plus the on-set teacher on the sets?
I did public school up until, what was it? Like junior high. Then I went to Valley Professional High because we moved out to Studio City. And I went to a school with Alfonso Ribeiro. And
do you remember the kids that went to Excelsior here in Hollywood?
Yes, I do. In fact, I almost ended up going there, but I fell in love with Mr. and Mrs. Van who ran Valley Professional. Mm. And Jerry Sherrill had gone there and a bunch of people that I had known.
Jerry, I ran into Jerry in a 7-Eleven on Santa Monica Boulevard. Hadn't seen him in 20 years at least. I'm like, how the fuck are you? Oh my God, it was so good. He's like, I did this movie and this movie. This is at Sundance. I'm like, unbelievable. And it looks, the movies look great.
Yeah.
He's incredibly prolific. And it's funny. We knew.
Yeah.
We knew as kids.
Well, I'd known Jerry. We were in the Los Angeles City Children's Chorus together. We were both soloists. And I think we were 6, maybe 7. I don't know. I found an old, on my Betamax, I found an old tape of us on the news, getting interviewed for the Los Angeles City Children's Chorus. And yeah, I knew then. Yeah. But
that was the thing. It was a bigger deal then. And now with really great, I was saying the other week, Patrick Harris and Anthony Rapp and so many other actors that are like, it doesn't fucking matter. And yeah, I'm cool. Anderson Cooper. Outed before he was outed. And then when he did, it was so smooth and buttery and like, so the fuck what? I'm dressed nice. Fuck you all. And the news tonight is this. It was like on with the job. But when we were growing up, it was also not as focused or directed the hate against GLBGPT. I like to say BLG, BLTG. Like a BLT.
I get confused with the lettering anyway, so I don't even say it.
Move the T up a little bit because they feel a little disenfranchised but being last. So
somebody's gotta be last.
We do.
It
was like there's a couple other. There was like I love on Facts of Life. It was like remember Nancy McKeon played Joe.
Oh yeah.
It was like Joe was gay, right? Joe was gay. I don't know about Nancy, but Joe was like clearly. Come on, fixing the motorcycles. It was like openly.
Yeah, probably.
I always felt she had a thing for the blonde.
For Blair.
Yeah, for Blair.
Yeah, she was.
I had a thing for
she
Blair.
Always had
Everybody
her.
Had a thing for Blair. It only makes sense that Joe would too. Hot.
That was, you had mentioned on Full Circle, or little Let's Go Meta. We had a great night a few weeks ago, and you had said you were on everything, but you never got the lead part or the main. Is that right? Is that how did you put
it's
it the
true.
Other night?
Well, I did a ton of commercials, like always braids, glasses, the nerd, the country girl, right? And so when you would see me in real life, nobody would really recognize me or really know, except the kids at school that would beat me up for it. But because I was the only one in the school doing commercials. Could you imagine? Nowadays, that's not the way it is. But back then, I was like the one out of the whatever. But I don't know.
Even when you went to the Valley Professional School?
No, Valley Professional School. It was like junior high. Yeah. It was everybody. Yeah. It was
so
everybody.
Jealous of those of you growing up out here in California, man.
Oh, we nice.
So I'm going to lay a Georgia. Few of the commercials, Ford and Texaco and Chevron and Datsun and Cool Whip, Kool Aid.
Did we do a honeycomb?
We
a honeycomb? No.
I did the Snap Crackle Pop.
Claro.
Sugar Smacks. I worked with all the animated characters. That was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
The honeycomb one was a strawberry one, so probably not. We all had to play baseball.
Did you puke it out? Did you have to eat it?
Remember
the cream? The heavy cream they would put the cereal in?
So disgusting. I remember I had to do a Hidden Valley Ranch salad dressing commercial. I'm actually getting sick thinking about it. I didn't have to eat the dressing. I had to eat yellow frosting because grandma, the grandma from... Walton's
Ellen Corby. Yeah,
yes. Yeah. She was Hidden Valley Ranch. And
pre-stroke or after stroke?
You know what? I couldn't tell because she didn't like kids too much. So I didn't get to really talk to her too much. Yeah. But we would, we'd come in. I worked with a little boy. I don't know. I know in Country Time Lemonade, Jason Bateman was.
Remember Sparky Marcus?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Did it just joggle your little, I was reading some old names of that time. And
yeah, that's what, this guy, I think his name was Dieter, but I haven't seen him. Anyway, we would come in and I would have to lick 2 licks of frosting, you know, to a certain count. And then we'd run off. And he would say, Grandma, how come your food always tastes so good? It's like ingrained in my head, just like all the rest of my lines are from my lame commercials. But no, like we were talking about before, I would get these great little parts. Like I would get called to do like extra work or, you know, because I was always working, whether I was doing, you know, walk-ons, stand-ins.
How often? 2-3
featured
times
dancers.
A month? How
often? Yeah. Well, let's just say that I worked enough to be able to get unemployment. Insurance, you know, unemployment, which is a lot. You know, I mean, I was, I guess, you know, 3-4. I mean,
do you get your Social Security statements that shows your earnings throughout?
Yeah,
and you go,
I do.
Hey, there's some good.
And I'm
years
like, there,
there
it is. And my husband's like, why are you getting Social Security? He's so
like,
confused.
I was 8 and I was making $40,000 a year, so blow it.
Well, it drives him crazy because I'll be driving by somewhere and I'll say, oh yeah, that's over there. That's where Mary Grady used to. I mean, or, you know, that's where I used to audition, or that's where I got, you know, my first rejection, you know, or whatever. And I would tell them the whole story. And I have that for almost every single block, you know, even when you go around.
We were driving in the car the other day with Gabe, and I was like, this is where we used to audition. This is where Kelman and Associates was. This is where the Copper Penny across the street. If we did good on an audition, we'd go and eat at Copper Penny on Sunset. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. And my favorite
was Coffee Mart.
My favorite was Melting Pot or Power Burger on Sunset because it was right next to Dr. Smith's office, the dentist.
Yeah.
And we would go down and then.
I was a Malibu kid, so I had Dr. Wolk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you guys had. You were all talking about Dr. Smith and you all lit up like it was.
Yeah,
Grandpa.
Well, he was our flipper guy and he was great, but I would always have to go in and sing for him when I would go in. No, but I would
sing
get these.
Sing for your dentist? I've heard sing for your dinner, but never sing for your dentist.
Oh, no. I would have to sing for my dentist.
Who touched you, Jenny? Who touched you?
Nobody. Ooh. It was always just the little boys. Yeah.
I had old men producer, creator, writers. Say inappropriate things to me at times. And
well, I could always pick out the creeps. I would always let my mom know. I'd be like, you know, he's creepy.
Do you remember a certain group of photographers / PR guys that we'd see at all the events and all the red carpets? Remember those guys? I'm not going to name them now because I'll get fucking sued.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
But they had records. They were wanted in other states.
Oh,
they were openly here doing these photo shoots. Literally Arnold above the bicycle shop.
Right.
Creeps. I have one in WOW magazine. I think I'm lifting my shirt up and I'm like, what perverts? But the total, absolute, degenerate perverts. And we know what happened. There's an incredible article right now. I wish I knew, remember the actor's name, but he's a UK young black actor. And he grew up in the whole British, worked the boards in Britain. And he said as early as 10 and 12, it was, parents were like, don't go with this actor alone in his dressing room. Don't. And then as he got on the road and as he got older, it was straight up predatory. And then plied with alcohol and completely groomed. And we've already had shows. Martha Nix, who is my sister on the Waltons.
Yeah.
I love her and her nonprofit Quarter Blue. It's, you know, a quarter of the children of the country are molested. It's no different than being in the industry. Maybe even a little worse.
Yeah.
You know, instead of family, now it's total strangers and groups and whatnot. Who knows?
Yeah.
But on the whole, good. I was not touched by anyone but family. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So you were unmolested,
didn't
lose a job because
as I got older, and it's the reason I stopped doing auditions and commercials and stuff when I was about 15, 16, I would start going. Yeah, I started getting boobies. I would go in and I'd audition or whatever. And they would say, okay, we'll come back in a bikini. And I just think, you know, that's just creepy. I don't want to do that. And, you know, it would be
especially
for a soap
opera. Especially
the
commercials for mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you're like, just like, why? It's for tires.
Stuck in Heinz. Yeah. I don't understand.
It's for tires. What are you talking about?
If you want to ask questions to Jenny, to us, the call sheet, 1-800-893-9562. We're live from downtown Los Angeles. I also have to thank Jeff Fiorentino and JFRocks.com. for our theme music. I love Jeff. I haven't mentioned him in a few weeks. And I love the theme music. And learn how to play, if you like guitar and want to learn how to play lots of cool, fun songs. Right now, he has a Adams Family kind of rock riff going on his site. You can learn how to play our theme song from the call sheet, as well as other songs at jfrocks.com. Thank you, Jeff, for the track. I love him. He's a friend. I don't have to say it. It feels like a compulsory thing, you know, of like, oh, I've given this free track, but I truly love him. And helped originally design his website years ago. We've worked together for years. And so thanks, Jeff, for the music. It's a family here, Jenny, at Skid Row Studio. What do you think of the studio in downtown? You're like, you went to Fidham,
I
right?
I love it. Yeah, well, I've loved downtown since the beginning of time. My mom would always bring me down here, and I would audition places. I would get dresses made, you know, whatever. And then I went to Fidham. I think I graduated in 92 or 93 because I wanted to get into costume design.
Those were my lost years.
Yeah, pretty much. I was kind of stuck. I didn't want to keep acting. I didn't want to be that thin. I didn't want to do, you know, what you were going to have to do. So I thought, you know, I'm going to go to college. Which isn't something that was really
only Natalie Portman and like a few actresses do it now, and I'm like, good for fucking you.
Oh, it was awesome, but it wasn't even
16 and shipped off overseas to go work. It was like there was no college, there was no time for college.
Right. Well, I remember I was singing. I had a record contract when I was 14, and I was singing country music, and I it did pretty well. It got on the Cashbox charts, and you know, I got interviewed and I got to tour around and do fun things. And then when I hit about 16, 17, I remember sitting in the office of a producer and saying to myself, I saw two paths in front of me. And I thought one path would lead to a family and kids and what I call normal, you know, not auditioning every single day. And not that I didn't love it, but, you know.
You thought then, acting was rough. Normal's a lot rougher.
Isn't
that funny?
Take me back. Yeah, exactly.
What a humbling challenge of life.
But you don't know because you're working forever.
But you have new cool skills that you learned on the set and stuff. And I didn't say this earlier, but like most people go to school in 18 to like 22. They get out of college. They start their careers and intern for a few years. They're like 23, 24, 25 when they start working.
Right.
We were five.
Yeah, we were five. And so by the time I was 15, I said to myself, you know, I want to retire. I want to do something else. And like I had mentioned before, I would get these strange comments from family and friends. Oh, you're not making it in the industry anymore.
Made it. Done.
I did pretty well.
Checked off on the list.
You know, mind you, I did a ton of films that I was always ended up on the editing room floor. But other than that, you know, I worked.
What was the most amount of time you spent on a set that didn't wind up in the movie? 2 weeks, 3 weeks? I mean,
it was a full week, and that's a lot for a kid. I mean, a full week, and that was every day, and it was really exciting. I was working with really, you know, Richard Pryor, and I remember I was having to run downstairs and bump into him and this whole thing, and then they had me outside jumping rope, and they had me doing like all these different things, right? And I was so excited. And it was an R movie, so I had to work very hard to get my parents to even take me. And I wasn't in it. And I just thought, oh, wah, wah. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, that happens. It happens.
Were you heartbroken? Did you blush openly in the theater? Did you not know until you saw it?
I didn't know until I saw it, because I don't think even my agent thought I was even going to go see it, so I had to cover my eyes through a lot of the scenes.
I've been there with friends at premieres. They'll invite me and we'll go and cut out.
Yeah.
But they were only like, they were like, you know, half a day of work or whatever. It's tough to do.
It's tough when you're...
Did you ever get fired off of a job or a set?
No. Oh, wait, no. I didn't get fired, but maybe this was fired. I don't know. I remember I got called in. It was for a cereal commercial, and they said my hair wasn't light enough. I needed to be sun-kissed. And I remember I was 6 and a half, because I had to tell everybody a half. It was very big for me. I like knew exactly when I was six, 1 year, six, 6 months into my birthday.
Some sort of labor law involving that, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know why.
Mentality.
Oh, it's huge.
You
six gotta, and a
once
half.
Once you cross that line,
yeah, you
you're
gotta
closer
know.
To seven than
my mark.
I think it was in May or April. I got. I can't even do math now, but I used to. I was smart once. And I remember they sent me to Vidal Sassoon, and it was in the morning. I showed up on set and they said, no, it needs to be lighter. Went into Vidal Sassoon and I have pretty long hair, and they highlighted it and they had to pull it through this frosting cap. Anybody who's from the 80s would know what I'm talking about. It's not really foils. Yep. And it's very hard. It's like a hook. And it like digs into your scalp and pulls it out and pulls it out. And as a six-year-old, you don't really like your mom brushing your hair anyway. It's kind of traumatic. If you've ever watched any of those girls scream in like the pageant TV shows, you know, it's true. It really does hurt. So they were pulling. I thought, God, this hurts. And I was just like, oh, my mom was like, are you sure you want to do this? I don't care what your color is. We'll leave. And I'm like, no, I'll do it. And we get to the set and they've already hired somebody else because it took a little longer to highlight it. And I remember I went home and they gave me my day rate. I remember they telling my mom, we're giving you your day rate. But I was like, but I wanted to do the commercial because I used to do research. I would get like, you know, Country Time Lemonade. And I would be like, oh, I'm going to go and try this product. I don't know.
I still do that. I'm like, Bud Light, I'll totally drink it.
Oh, I'm so into trying
Bud Light,
that. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
not happens. Even auditioning anymore and I try that.
I went up for this pretty recently, a security, like online security thing for your computer or your home. I think it was like security. No, it was for security for like Symantec or something like that. Mm. So I do the commercial straight. I'm like, you know, they'll be there for you. They'll help, you know, secure the thing. And then I go, actually, we're so into customer service. One night after you sign up late at night, they will actually break into your home to make sure that you're safe. So I threw it at the end of the commercial and I was like, you know, in corporate, they're laughing. They're having a little gas at their little like luncheon or whatever, but I ain't booking the job. There's no way. Eh. I can't not be me. I'm like, after a while, I was like, that's the only reason you book.
Right.
There's something unique about, you know, Jenny. There's something unique about you that makes you book. At the thing you said, the redhead, the blonde, and the brunette. Mm-hmm. Did you guys work together often, you and Heather and Angie?
Well, we wouldn't work together. That's why I was so bummed that I didn't get the Mandrell sisters, because I would have got to work with Heather. But anyway, I was like third, fourth callback. We would see each other if they were trying different types. And then I would know on the callback that I was usually up against Tanya Crowe, because she was another brunette. And so I would think to myself, okay, it's one or the other, you know, or whatever. There was Wendy Brainerd, she had darker hair at one point and it got lighter and lighter as the 80s went by. And I remember we would audition a lot together. And I modeled for Cunningham, CED. I did lots of print and runway. That was before boobs. So, but yeah, I did all that kind of stuff. And I remember I would go in and there was this one girl who looked exactly like me. And it was either her or me. And I just thought, how can I take her out? No, I'm just kidding. I would say to myself, okay, either her or me.
Poison,
but you know, you
water.
Just kind of... But no, I would see Heather and Angela.
How old are you at this time with this kind of direct pit bull pressure against another kid?
Oh, are you kidding me? That's like 5, 6, 7, 8. It was forever. You know how it was. But it wasn't like I wouldn't ever feel pressure. I would just know, because you get to the point then you're doing your auditions. And then to get one, what would you have to go on? 10 to 20 to 50, you know, auditions. Who knows?
Yeah.
And then you would get one. So you would just know you either get it or you don't. And I would just take it as fun because I was out of Corona and I was playing with all my friends because we would show up and catch up. So I always loved it. We would make up dance steps. And I used to like to go to Trudy Booth's. She was my favorite place to audition. Remember that red house she had? Do you remember? It's like off of Coldwater Canyon. No, it was Laurel Canyon. It was almost to Sunset. And it was this big house, and I would be like, oh, we're going to Trudy Booth's auditioning, you know, and she would do commercials or whatever. It was fun.
Yeah. I liked it when it was a big room in a zoo. And like,
yeah, it was a room in a zoo.
Horseshoe, like benches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We had a lot of pressure on us as kids, but a lot of fun. I think a lot of fun. And you went to public school, and you got beat up too? For
you know what? I did. I actually had to change schools after Monchichi commercial. I was really pissed too because I got to ride my bike to the school, which was so normal for me. You know how you're always searching for normal, which is crazy because it's not like I was like, you know, on a lead series.
You're
but
searching for normal, but still there's the time where you're like signed up, you're with the squad, you're doing whatever sport or thing,
right,
and you're with them 6 weeks, 8 weeks, and all of a sudden the finals come and you're like, oh, I booked a thing.
I booked a thing, I gotta go.
And so it's like you do normal, but you can't quite ever totally commit to normal.
Yeah, I could never commit to Girl Scouts completely, but boy, I looked great in the outfit. You know, like I love the costume, but I would never really show up for their international day because I had to do something.
You'll have the costume.
Of course I do.
Are you going for Halloween? You going to wear that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really short now. yeah. No, I remember even the teacher got in on it. Everybody would sing the song, Monchichi, Monchichi, and they'd sing it constantly. And I didn't even tell them I would do it. Like, I tried to keep it on the down low that I was doing anything. And then I would just be absent one day, because, you know, commercials were just one day. And then they'd see it a few months, weeks later on Saturday morning cartoons. And
yeah, it's kind of hard to keep the lid on that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
They blasted it into our brains.
National television commercial on Saturday morning that every, you know, every kid watches Saturday morning cartoons, or did when they had Saturday morning cartoons.
I had my He-Man.
You know.
I was very proud of my
He-Man. I remember that one, the He-Man.
And it was great. Did you ever get the toys? Whatever you were doing.
Yeah. I still have my Monchichis, but I played with them and I ruined them, so I can't sell them.
They're also like not quite the real one. It was like
yeah,
close
a little,
to what they were about to come out with.
Yeah.
You turn it around.
This is hot glued on.
Wrong.
This is
like fell apart. Like the skin's off of the Monchichi doll right now.
Well, no, see, that's how you turn it around and be like, this is Jenny Chapman's Monchichi.
Oh,
like hey, that's eBay. That you look at the collector's
eBay
item.
That shit.
No, I think my 5-year-old's playing with it, so
it's got drool all over it.
He's probably got it in the backyard. Who knows? That poor doll.
Brian, you spell his name all jacked up. Bryan.
Okay, look.
Where did you get that from?
I wanted him to be a little different, and so I was having a C-section, and I was on large amounts of pain medicine, and I thought, I'll put a Y in it.
That's
so
why it's sometimes
I stuck with it.
Why.
Yeah.
For just such an occasion.
And everybody always spells it with an I anyway, so, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he likes it. He likes to make that Y great big when he's writing it, so it's good. It's good.
I like my big K when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Making my big K in Keith.
I always put J and then like a smiley face in it. Yeah.
You girls had your little hearts over the eyes.
Oh, yeah. I had hearts all over my Vans.
Pens with like fluffies and Monchichis on them.
Yes. And Monchichis. Yes. It would follow me everywhere. It was nice to change schools, though. But it was a different public school, but they were nicer there.
Did you reinvent yourself?
I tried. I tried to change my name to Kathleen, my middle name. And everybody's like, Jenny, we've known you forever. You're such a jackass. Why are you trying to change your name? I don't know.
You and the documentary we're doing, which is on like positive spin of kids that have made it and are still alive and move on or move through or move up or just, you know, really move on. I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
We all love it. We love the business. There's no denying that.
Oh, I wouldn't be who I am and what I'm doing without it.
I know you want to be on a set. And I know that your great costume design, which through Fit'em, did you do traditional or period or sci-fi?
Oh, gosh. I did everything because I made sure to get all the independent films that I could. So I was always, you know, doing whatever crazy film that whatever student would do. And it was great. And then I would get, you know, the suit shows where I would just be the costumer with the lint roller, you know, my local 705 costumer. Yeah.
Those are the trouble shows because you get into trouble with like, you know, the second, you're all hanging out doing nothing.
Yeah, you're always like, go to two. And you click the thing and talk on the TV and plan something. Yeah.
Hey, I mean, everybody works so hard on a set, but there are moments where for 2 hours they're in there doing a close-up or some shit, and you're like, everything's set, everything's done. I mean, really, I gotta wait, clean their fucking clothes at the end of the day. Can you believe actors that don't hang their clothes up at the end of the day?
Let me tell you, there are only a few that actually hang their clothes up, and they're usually ones who have been in the business, number one, as long as I have, because they've learned, because if I didn't hang my clothes up when I was 6 or 7 in the trailer, my mom would be like, oh, I don't think you put that on the floor, you know, whatever. So of course I'd hang them up. But then the theater trained ones, anybody who comes from the theater, they'd have them hung up. They would never walk off with them. They would bring their own slippers and robe, always total professionals. And then you get the ones that, you know, got lucky and they got their job and you're very excited for them, but you would have to school them a little bit. Okay. You know, you don't walk off with the costumes. You don't hide the shoes because it's funny. You know, stuff like that.
I walked off with one piece of costume.
It's a tie-dye shirt, isn't it?
No. It's the ripped jeans from Don't Come on the Babysitter's.
Oh, well, you had to do
the
that.
Tie-dye shirt or the
Kenny's
jeans.
I found them the other day. I'm like, how much could I get for these on eBay?
I don't know.
Do you still fit? Do they still
fit? They're 28. So you think I'm going to still fit in the parents' 28?
Let's hope not. That would be an odd look.
34s right now. If you're fucking lucky. Like, I couldn't get it up one leg. It was ridiculous.
That's what I found, some of my old costumes from stage shows that I did, because I know I was at the Roxy for 3 years when I was nine to I think I turned 12 when I left. But we did it every weekend, did a kid's show, and I found the little outfits, and I remember thinking to myself, oh, I hope I'm not getting fat, or, you know, the things that happen when you're a little girl and you're growing up in the industry. You're pretty body conscious. And I framed them now. They actually fit in a frame. You know, they're a little tiny, and they fit in a frame next to a picture, because I just thought, oh, that's cute.
What were some of the numbers you guys would do in Let's Put On a Show?
Oh, my God. Well, we'd always end with New York, New York. Jerry Sherrill would sing it.
You know, I hung with the Kids Incorporated occasionally, Moosey Dreyer and everyone I did. But I also was always at your guys' show, too.
Yeah.
And I remember you guys hustled it. A show a week is unbelievable. How many times a week did you guys rehearse?
We would rehearse the day before. And we would be there for a few hours at some church in North Hollywood. I think it was a Methodist church in North Hollywood. And it's all brick building, and it's fun. No,
the Methodists will get us. Don't mention
that's right.
No, are you Catholic because of the Catherine and the... Are you?
Yeah, my family. I was raised Catholic. Yeah. Which means that I probably haven't been to church since I got confirmed.
Hell no.
Yeah, I think that's what Irish Catholic means.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Hold on. I want to go back to something here for a second. So you're saying you would rehearse the show for just once for 3 or 4 hours before putting it up each week?
Yeah, and then we'd show up early every Sunday, and we'd perform the show at 2, but we'd get there around 10, and we'd do a quick run through a dress rehearsal. And then sometimes the writers would come in and say, okay, we've changed this. You've got this line, you've got this line. And we'd all just be like, that's fine. It's live. We'll do it.
Everyone also was doing regular network, you know, TV shows and, you know, one-liners here.
We were auditioning one-line guest appearances.
Commercials is funny for people listening. When people ask me, hey, Keith, I want to get into the business. I'm like, oh, great. What do you want to do it for? The art, the moment, get the fuck out. They're like, the money? That's a good quantifiable thing. You want to make money? They're like, very tough way to make a living. But I say commercials. You really, today especially, the kind of money that people make in commercials, them, national commercials and Super Bowl commercials and stuff. Your house, education for someone.
Yeah.
One spot.
Yep.
Back in the day, it was, I mean, my best ever was Wrigley's Spearmint.
Those are nice.
Shine in the Shoes. And I got $15,000 for 15 minutes of work.
Yep.
We went to Paris, California.
Oh, nice.
The director put his boot out and I shined the director's shoe. We shot it like that. It was in makeup and hair longer than actually shooting.
Oh, yeah.
Boom, over. And when all was said and done, it was $15,000. I knew friends that made $40,000, $50,000, whatever, you know, Pepsi. And they were doing, I never got, ooh, so jealous. Never got Coke or Dr. Pepper or Levi's. I wanted all of those.
Yeah. I got a Pepsi. I was a featured dancer. So I wasn't like, you know, the leads, but I still got a pretty good rate.
Was Alfonso Ribeiro on the set?
No, he was not on the set. No.
Do you remember that ridiculousness? Do you remember the...
Yeah.
Do you remember the Alfie's Soda Pop Club?
Of course. I still have my VIP membership card or the postcard I would get in the mail.
Things like that
were fun. I loved that. That was cool.
Yeah. That was because it was the only time we didn't see each other at auditions, really.
Yeah.
We had softball games and other things that we would do.
Sure. You know. Or I'd go spend the night. Somebody would have like a birthday party, you know, and we'd all get together. I know Tina Casperi. She was a... dancer.
Yep.
Yeah. And I took tap from Mac McCone, who also taught tap to her. I would do private, you know how we were all triple threats. We had
I
to
took
be
tap.
Right.
I was 8 years old, Gabe.
Yeah.
Did you take any dance, Gabe? Are you forced to?
Any tap dancing?
From the south over there in Atlanta?
No.
And where are you from? Savannah? Where are you from?
We didn't do, Atlanta is the easiest thing.
Did you do ballroom? Did you cotillion?
No, didn't do any dance at all. Which is disappointing because I feel like the odds being the only straight guy in a dance class.
Oh yeah, that's
really
it.
Mm-hmm. you clean up. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's. Yeah.
I was always over at the hopscotch and the tether ball with the girls. Mm-hmm. Like Keith, are you? No. It's just girls over here, man. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yep.
Never understood the guys who were afraid to be, you know, cheerleaders or. Guys afraid to be in dance class. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Two girls, short skirts.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, I have a good friend, Miguel Vargas, and he's not only did the cheerleading and everything, but then he became a teacher. Then he taught the winning teams. Mm-hmm. Then he became a mascot for the San Diego Chargers. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's And he did like the ultimate professional cheerleading thing. And he's like my age. So he's like, he's a few years younger. He's like 39, 40. He's like, yeah, it's still fun to be around all the, you know, great, cute girls. He would never, you know, do anything inappropriate. No. He's the greatest guy in the world and totally straight, but absolutely a cheerleader.
Yeah.
Yay. But they're doing like spinal column crush triple.
Yeah. Oh, they're crazy now. All that flips.
Talk about athleticism.
Dance like, Moms too. I watched Dance Moms. Did you guys, did you dance?
I did dance. I danced like 7-8 hours a day. Yeah.
The, when we were kids in the 80s, it was, there was dance and it was very like, what did you wear? Capriccios and like.
Yeah, capriccios.
Unitards or what were they called?
Leotards.
Sorry.
Yes, leotards.
Had to have your leotards.
And I would wear dance skin tights, all dance shiny skin. And sparkly. Yeah.
I like the nude dance skin tights. It was kind of like racy.
Yeah.
But these girls at 12, 13, 14 were doing these adult sexy, before flash dance, they were doing like laying back on the floor and like.
Oh yeah. I had my first fishnets. I think I was 7. Yeah.
They're like, it's very professional. Nice.
That's right. Ta-da. Yeah.
We had a Youth and Film Awards, which was the Oscars for children.
Yes.
And, Maureen Dragone ran this. At various places, Universal, Sportsman's Lodge. We've been all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Since 81, I want to say the first one was.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my grandfather, they have an award for him. I give out the Jackie Coogan Award, Outstanding Contribution to Youth Through Entertainment. I've given it to Michael Jackson, Chuck Berry, Spielberg, who was this year, Waiting for Superman. I gave it to the documentary. This year, we gave a grant to the East Los Angeles Science and Technology School, $1,000 grant to help with equipment so that kids can do prep for college sciences.
Yeah, that's
$1,000.
Cool.
What are they going to buy? Like pencils and erasers?
Half of a microscope.
It's
the lens.
It's like you're buying lens cleaners.
I got a chair.
You're essentially buying for $1,000 for a science school.
We need $237 more dollars if we can get a Mac.
They can get the Mac Mini, but no monitor.
Yeah, you can't even buy a computer for that. Like,
Did you have computers in school growing up, like Apples?
Oh,
or did they throw
no,
those?
No. We actually, let's see, when did I, junior high was 86 and I moved out here. And then, yeah, there were no computers in school. I remember, what was it? My college, FITM, we had one scanner. We had like a classroom full of PCs, but we had one scanner and it was a triple pass. And it was like 1990. And I remember that being a big deal. I think you can put a picture in there and scan it without having to go to Kinko's and color copy it. Crazy. Yeah.
Kinko's, the revolutionist.
No, remember
friend.
When we used to have to get touch-ups on our
remember Print
photos
Shop Pro?
And we used to have somebody actually airbrush the pictures? Did you have somebody?
They would flip it negative black and white and then they would sit there and paint in.
Yeah, without any.
Like black dots, which would turn white on the photo and take out any blemishes and stuff like that. I love that.
I used to love to watch him do it. I thought, this is a cool job. I'll do this. Yeah.
We were still fake and photoshopping back in 1976, just so
you know. It's where the term comes from. Airbrushing comes from actual air fucking brushing, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And then you grew up, and the thing, I was so impressed with David Mendenhall, who's an attorney. Heather Haas is going for her law degree, going to work with David, advocacy for labor and kids.
So awesome.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
My grandfather obviously had a little labor law there.
Oh, yeah.
I got a lot of stuff online when I talked about you coming on. And my grandfather's birthday was yesterday, by the way, Jackie Coogan's birthday, 1914, October 26th, 2012.
Yay.
Happy birthday, Grandpa. And great legacy because a lot of kids did get their money. Kids were saying, parents were saying, I have two kids in the business. Oh, and by the way, I've got Coogan accounts for them. I was like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And you have a great kid.
Yeah, I do.
Did you do cesarean for both?
No, the Brian, my first, he was a surprise. He came early at 35 weeks and we had to do a crash C-section and he was breech. So he came out butt first and it was really scary. And I'm so glad that I was a nurse.
I'm going to go this way.
Yeah, that's what he's always been stubborn. Yeah.
Like, this is how
early
I want to do it.
He hadn't turned around yet. He was like, let's do the water slide this way.
Exactly.
And then you have another child.
And I have another child. He's a year old. And he's actually 13 months. We still count in months.
Of course. You're going to go up to like 56 months.
Yeah, and then
don't worry.
Can't count anymore. And then I'll just be like, I don't know how many months. Already he's 4.
He's over there in the yard somewhere.
He's in college now, 475,000 months. Yeah.
And some sort of wolf or squirrel, I think.
No. That was my golden retriever. He's in every picture. We always have dog parts in all of our pictures. So you know,
you have a
paw,
boxer?
Nose.
Is that a boxer?
No, we have a new Mastiff. Yeah, Mastiff German Shepherd. Well, I lost my Golden Retriever. He died. He was 16. I think that was a pretty long life for a big Golden Retriever.
Dang long life.
Thank you. I acupuncture, natural herbs.
You're all natural and herbal. Now, you're a registered nurse?
Yeah.
Is it funny RN in other letters, or do you have a straight RN?
Well, it's BSN-RN is what we're supposed to say at work.
Oh, okay.
It's bachelor's degree. Because there's associate's degree prepared, bachelor's degree, master's degree prepared nurses. Yes. So very fancy. But
When did you get that? After FIDM?
What I did was from in the 90s up till 2001, 9/11 kind of did it for me. I think it did it for everybody. Kind of said, you know, I need to help people because what am I going to do? I'm going to go to New York and style them. You know, I just thought, you know. So from 1990 to 2001, I worked as a costume designer. And of course, I was able to get jobs, you know, pretty easily because I knew people in the industry
tough. What's the panic a week before you're wrapping something? You're like, I know what my next job is.
Yeah, exactly. Or they would say, we probably aren't going to get casting until, the day before we shoot. And I'm like, yeah, duh. I mean, how many times have we gotten hired and it's the tomorrow we work? So I was, you know, pretty good at that and I really liked it. But I had always wanted to do nursing. I always wanted to be in the medical profession. And I don't know. It's just something that I always wanted to do. And I thought, I can do this. But, you know, time gets away from you. And so 2001, I thought, you know, 9/11 happened. I thought, you know, I'm going to go back to school. So I kept doing costume design. And I would do night courses. And then I got accepted to Mount St. Mary's College and graduated in 2005 with my BSN-RN and started working as a labor and delivery nurse. And
Were you anonymous there? Every once in a while, someone would out you as the Monchichi girl.
For some reason, I love the 80s, started playing like, and I think I'm on almost every episode. There's like something lame, you know, that I'm on. I know I did the smoking ad that played literally. I'm glad McDonald's picked it up because it turned into a national, but it was one of those, you probably did it for me to you. Did anybody do it for me to you? Angela did one. This is for me to you. Hi, I'm Jenny Chapman and I'm 9. My mom just quit smoking. I told my dad he should quit too. Yeah. I still know it. That's pathetic. But
you
anyway.
Didn't adopt a cat PSA. That was like the only PSA.
Oh, okay. Well, this was a PSA that actually turned into money, which was nice, you know, when it does that.
Ooh.
But I was 9 for like 5 years or 4 years or something, you know, on the show because it was Jenny Chapman and I'm 9. And people were like, I thought you were 9. And they'd meet me and I'm like, I'm 12. So anyway, so that kind of outed me and people would be like, well, what are you doing here as a nurse? You didn't want to make it in show business? I'm like, I did that for 15, almost 20 years. You know, you add the costume design on, I almost 25 years. Why in the world would I want to just keep doing it? Let's do something different. And so, you know, it was always, people were always questioning me.
I'm bitter. Why did you leave? I answer snarky. Like, you know,
exactly.
Hey, do you still work? I'm like, yeah, when they pay me, I'm like, I'm all good.
Yeah.
My grandfather's like, it better be it has been than it ever was.
Yeah, and exactly.
I'm like, when was the last time you had a show out or whatever? Because it's tough. You do love it so much.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough to come down and do the real world and be normal.
Well, I do have a hard time with corporate.
The rest of your freaks were normal.
That's right. No, I do have a tough time with corporate. You know, like, knowing when to pick up my paycheck or knowing that I've got to put in a time card. You know, things like that. That's stuff that you would learn if you worked at Limited Express for a year, you know. But instead, you know, I know how to go to the unemployment line and fill that out. Or, you know, I mean, I know things that, you know. Whatever.
I was quite old. I was like probably 19 at least or 20 when one of my friends who's an actor, he's like, and I'd been like off a movie for 3-4 months. He's like, oh, are you doing unemployment? I'm like, no, it's ridiculous. I'm like making ridiculous, money this year. I'm like,
I don't know.
The moment you quit a job, you got to do unemployment. I'm like, so I started then and on and off throughout the years.
Well, it's great. It's how I afforded to get new dance shoes or stuff, you know, because I basically paid for all my stuff. And because my family couldn't. And so that was pretty neat. No, but my son, everything works out. You know how the universe is all knowing and it takes care of you.
It's ringing like a bell.
Yes. So I had my son. And then when he was about 2 years old, he was diagnosed with autism. And I immediately went into, of course, protective mommy mode. But if I hadn't
had... Did you already have your RN?
Yeah, I had my BS and RN because I had him in 2006 and I graduated from nursing school in 2005. So I'd already been working for about a year. And I was also noticing while I was working before, while I was pregnant even, I was starting to get into the holistic, forms of things. And I was noticing that there were an awful lot of pharmaceutical companies out there and they were pushing a lot of medications and how the healthcare system is really based on or focused on not wellness. They seem to be focused on after you get sick, then we'll take care of you. You know, there doesn't seem to
treat
be a lot
symptoms,
of
symptoms, drug you more.
Right, drug you more. Exactly.
No whole body wellness or health.
And a lot of nurses feel that way. I mean, you know, when pharmaceutical reps would come to our hospital or whatever, we wouldn't even accept the pens because we just feel like, you know, what, we're not going to walk around with a pen and tell our patients what kind of drug to get because, first of all, I'm not the doctor deciding that. And second of all, you know, that's just strange to me. But whatever. So I kind of had that feeling. And then my son got really, really sick and it coincided with all of his vaccinations. And I noticed him getting yeast infections and problems and his immune system was tanking. I noticed all this stuff happening. And as a nurse, I knew it. And I didn't even think autism. I thought immune system problems. He's having a vaccine reaction. Because when you read the inserts to the vaccinations, it tells you that these things could happen. So it's not like it's like I'm making this stuff up. So I went into the doctor and said, listen, I think he's had a vaccine reaction. And of course, I go to a great doctor and he was like, yeah, I think he is. I don't think your kids can have vaccinations anymore. And so we stopped him, but it had already done its damage. And we did some blood testing and some urine testing and some hair testing. And we found that he has severe mercury poisoning.
Is that the thimerosal?
Yes,
is that
thimerosal.
The mercury in that? Because on the CDC website, which is cdc.gov, mm-hmm. And you search under vaccines, this is on the CDC website. It says that common adjuvants in vaccines are aluminum.
Mm-hmm. Large amounts.
Egg protein, which means just egg yolk. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How old is that? How long has that been sitting in a mm-hmm. goddamn vial? Right. MSG, which God knows, there's a lot of people with MSG allergies anyway. They didn't even know it.
Yeah. Latex.
And MSG is something that can really, really poison people mm-hmm. and is in really all of our food. They call it about 17 different things. Mm-hmm. They stopped labeling it as MSG, and there's other ways that they call it on labeling it. I watch out for food labeling. By the way, vote for genetically modified organism labeling, by the way, here in California.
And plus, do your own research,
and then finally, thimerosal, which I understand is a mercury-based.
Oh, yeah, mercury, it's 50% mercury.
What are these things doing? Are they something that's supposed to kick off the immune system in young kids?
Aluminum,
why do they put them in there?
Okay, well, first of all, they were never tested on children. They were made, you know, they were basically tested on like men in the army way back when, you know, so big guys. So they were looking at their immune system and they would do the vaccination without the aluminum. Let's just take that. And it wouldn't happen as quickly. The immune system reaction of creating, you know, antigens and creating antibodies to the antigen of the bacteria or the virus or whatever you're injecting into them wouldn't be fast enough for them. So they said, well, if we put in aluminum, that's going to jumpstart your immune system. Your immune system's going to go, what the fuck is that? It's aluminum. So it's going to go faster at trying to get rid of it. So it's going to go after the metal and then it's going to start stirring things up and trying to, oh, there's bacteria too. Like that, I mean, that's the layman's way to put it, but that's pretty much what's happening. So the large amounts
young
of aluminum
kids today are just sitting in the room and cutting themselves in the arm. I think that works well.
Yeah, I think that this
girls,
is good.
Yeah, cutting is good.
Well, there's aluminum, there's thimerosal, which is 50% mercury, and they say that it's been filtered out or it's out of them, but you really just, if you're going to go in and get them, this is all I say, we read the backs of food labels, but we just take the vaccinations for ourselves or for our grandma or for our kids. Just ask, hey, can I see the label? Open it up, read the label.
Blue shots have these too.
Blue shots.
And there's a reason they're free at Walmart. It's because they have to give the shit away. It's not worth crap. You get the flu. They're giving you the flu.
Yeah.
Everyone I know who's ever gotten a flu shot has it. I don't have the little polio vaccine bump. I was born January 1970 and I don't have... All of my friends do.
My parents refused everything because they felt, my actual pediatrician felt that my immune system probably wouldn't be strong enough to handle that.
Oh, you pale, poor little child.
I haven't had a flu shot. I can't even remember the last time I had a flu shot. And even that is a shot in the dark. Like, that is, they're giving you a certain number of possible strains.
Well, there's actually study something that happened just a few years ago. I mean, I have it all written down and everything, and it'll be on my blog as soon as I'm able to get that finished when the one-year-old turns 12. But it shows that they did a study, and 1 year they accidentally gave us the wrong strain. So they were protecting us against the wrong strain of the flu, which didn't hurt us at all. It just didn't cover us from the flu that was actually out there. And the same amount of people died, and the same amount of people lived, and nothing really happened. It didn't change anything.
Well, and there's something like...
But, yeah.
I was just going to say, isn't there, and because you probably know more about this than I do, but... Isn't there something like 176 different strains that come to this country every year? There's
probably
hundreds.
Way more. And yeah.
They give us like a dozen.
Yeah.
They vaccinate you against the 10 or 12 most likely.
Well, what's scary about it is when you really think about how it works, and I don't think there's a doctor out there, because I don't know exactly how it works. I don't think anybody would know exactly how it works. So you're doing something to the immune system by throwing in metals that we're somehow supposed to dump or get rid of. And my child had mercury go into his brain and go into his liver and go into different parts of his body. And so now we're having to, you know, work on getting it out using physicians and different things.
The powerful thing you said was he lost a word a week.
Yeah, he lost a word a week.
And became non-responsive.
Yeah.
And started doing physical things and in his
own
world.
Shaking his hands in front of his face and... And what I did was I looked up what happens, like take that fishing village in Japan that got mercury toxicity. Mm-hmm. It's the same things that happen when you put mercury toxicity next to autism, quote unquote, which for me, it's not a disease. It's just a name of something that has a ton of symptoms underneath it. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So if you put those neck and side by side, like Jenny McCarthy, she wrote a book about this, and she actually has it in one of her many books. That it's a side-by-side comparison of mercury toxicity and autism symptoms. They're almost exactly the same. And so I know that I watched my son get sick, and I watched something physical happen to him, and then it took his language away, and then it sucked almost his personality and his soul away. And he
How
just
quickly
became,
did you act, and where did you turn to?
Well, because something? Number one, I wasn't afraid to ask questions. Not to bring it back to show business, but you know, when you're working since you're five, you're not going to screw around, right? Because what's going to happen? They're going to put you in question jail. So
my grandfather said, you are quiet, you do what you're told. But if you have something to say,
say
it loudly and clearly so that all the adults hear you and don't repeat yourself. And if it's important, they'll pick up on
They'll pick up on it, exactly. So you can't be intimidated by anybody when you've done this for a long time. Mm-hmm. So I just started.
Trust your instincts.
Focusing. Yeah, I trust my instincts. And I went to Jenny McCarthy was down the street from me, found her Generation Rescue, which you can go to generationrescue.org and read all this stuff that's going on. I went to her, put him in speech therapy right away because I thought that might help. Stuck him in some social classes, and I started cleaning up his diet. I took out the food colorings, the MSG. I put him on something called the Feingold diet. It's for ADHD because I thought, well, that can't hurt.
Look at the squirrel. What?
Who? Yeah.
By the way, one of the food colorings, red food dye, is the cochlea bug. It's
sure.
a bug.
Yeah, it's an actual bug.
And they squish it and get the red
Once
juice
you start
out of it.
Doing research, basically you just want to grow your own vegetables and live like the Waltons.
If you watch Kitchen Nightmares, you'll never want to eat in a
never
restaurant
Never want to eat in a restaurant again. Exactly. And we pretty much don't.
Mom kept me away from junk food and Cokes and stuff. And actually, I lived vegetarian and avocado and sprouts and whole grain and all this other stuff. Honey Nut Cheerios was the sweetest thing I had in my house.
Oh, yeah. And it's super sweet now. Whenever I have it, I'm like, oh, my God, it's kind of sick.
No Coke. So I would run up to my friend's house and have Oreos.
And we've used Tom's products, you know, the Tom's deodorant. Yeah. So I stink.
You
Who
smell
cares?
Like a hippie. Goddamn
exactly,
hippie.
Exactly.
That's what showers are for.
Yeah, exactly. And you just have to shower a lot.
You get 99%. But you had to occupy Wall Street. So what'd you do? What is the diet? Yeah. And you said antifungal?
I took out all the diet. And the MSG and all that kind of crap. Then I took out gluten and I took out casein, which is milk protein. So basically I went to rice, cheese, and a vegan diet, except he has meat because I need him to have protein for his red blood cells. But we do, yes, meat. He only has it a few times a week, though. I would try to watch it
As everyone should.
But it's all grass-fed beef, and everything's in moderation, and it's all really expensive, fantastic stuff. I have some co-ops where I go, and you can actually pick out the cow if you want to. I mean, that's too sad for me. I can't do that.
She's a three-year-old.
Exactly. Scary. Yeah, no,
his left tit's a little big, but we love Maple.
Well, what's happening right now is he has, oh my God, no. My dad always named our cows
fishing
dinner.
Fishing was the only time that
I can't even do it at fishing.
And caught and then cooked and ate.
No, see, I'm not allowed on any fishing trips. I would get that fish and be like, put it back. And I'd be running back trying to give it mouth to mouth. Yeah, I was not ever welcome on any family trips.
So how quickly did you see a result as you were going?
I would say within 3 weeks, 4 weeks, because he had to go through a withdrawal. Because what's happening with gluten and casein and all this stuff when you've got a screwed up immune system is your gut is leaky and the gluten's going through and the casein, and they turned into opioids. Right, gluteinomorphine and caseinomorphine. I'm not pronouncing them correctly.
This country's hooked on McDonald's.
Oh yeah, it's the reason bread baskets taste so good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all crack. So basically, crack. He went through withdrawal. He literally would scratch at the refrigerator and scream for milk for a couple of, you know, 3 or 4 days, and then he started itching himself and seeing things, and it was awful. Wow. And then all of a sudden he woke up one day and he came in. This was 3 weeks after I started the diet. This is a kid who hadn't talked for a year and a half, and he said, "Hi, Mommy, what are we doing today?" And my husband sat straight up in bed, swear to God. And he said a little broken, you know, "What are we doing today?" You know, or whatever. And my husband sat up and said, "Okay, this is it. We are now dedicating ourselves to this." And I'm like, "Thanks for joining the party." I had already done that, but oh no.
Now,
he was always behind it.
Saying that Brian entered kindergarten?
Yes, he entered kindergarten. And he is the class clown. And they say, oh, he can memorize a song in 2 seconds. And if everything he hears, he remembers. And and they're like, "Is that autism?" And I'm like, "Well, then I'm autistic, because you know how we were always able to memorize things? It's like the reason we were good in show business was you memorize things."
Well, when you get started at 5 years old and you have to learn this for tomorrow or this afternoon.
Or in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But Jenny, you read, obviously, when you were younger. You read. You could read.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the kids in the business that we worked with
that couldn't read?
And their parents would read them the lines.
Read them the lines from the outside.
And this wasn't at 6, 7 years old. We're talking into 10, 11,
10, 12. 11, 12.
Pretty amazing.
I read an actress for a film I did a couple years ago, and she couldn't read. She says, you have to, 23 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and this is not, we'll just say she came from an affluent area and she couldn't read.
That's so sad.
Just, you have to email the script to my mom.
Read your labels, know what you're eating, know what you're giving your kids.
Exactly. Scary.
You were home cooked, right, Gabe? Home-cooked meals and good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Wholesome.
Oh, yeah. No, my mother made a point to make sure, that we were eating square meals, nutritious, you know. I mean, I eat like crap now, although...
we have just a few seconds left, and I have to say, Jenny, thank you for coming.
Sure.
And Brian is lovely now, and he's doing
good. He's doing great. A little funky, but he's getting better and better.
I was beating kids up in kindergarten. I wanted to play with that toy. Bam! They're like, "You have to socialize and work with other children."
Actually, he's great socially, and he just loves his friends. So I'm just thrilled. I mean, every day, he just was singing in choir the other day, so I was out in front like a stage mom.
Stage mom,
yep.
Child actress.
You'll see me next on Toddler
Tears. Costume designer. good friend, Jenny, thank you so much for coming on the call sheet. Gabe, thanks for helping out tonight.
Thanks, guys.
Mindy, thank you so much for engineering. Thank you for the documentary crew for filming.
Yay.
Have a good night, everybody. We love you from the call sheet live in downtown. Take care of each other. God bless.
Have a good night.